All right, that's good singing. I like singing better than I do singing. People just sang out, you know, so that's good. But anyway, turn that down a little bit. I'm just looking right straight at it. And if it exploded, it'd mess up this pretty face, so I don't want to do that. All right, open your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, we're going to read a few verses there, and then we'll be skipping around a little bit. But I want to speak this evening, or preach this evening, on the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. And the theme is, it is finished. So as we look into John chapter 19, beginning in verse number 16, and we'll read down through verse number 30. And remember this, the finished work of Christ. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Where they therefore crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I also want to look at the first verse that I'm going to be reading here. It's in John chapter 4 and verse number 34, John chapter 4 and verse 34. And it says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. As we think about all of this, it's a wonderful thing to realize that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He never backed off from going to the old rugged cross. Jesus loved us, for God so loved the world, and Jesus, God's Son, loved the world alongside of Him. So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's Jesus, and so thank the Lord that Jesus gave His Son a ransom for many. In John chapter 17 and verse number 4, the Scripture says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save sinners. And he died on the cross at the end of his life on earth. And he said, I have glorified thee, talking about his heavenly Father, and said, I've done everything. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. So all the work of God was done so that we could be saved and go to heaven. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is Apostle Paul speaking. And I've underlined the words finished. Finish in John chapter 4. Finish is in John chapter 17. And finish is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. And then again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, sometimes people start things and don't ever finish them. But Jesus finished what he came to do. The Apostle Paul is finishing what he is called to do. And then it says we want to concern ourselves primarily with finished work. We ought to do that. We ought to finish what we start to do. And, of course, it's the work of Jesus Christ. All of us serve him. All of us give our life a ransom for many. We would be willing to die, if be, for people to be saved, whatever it might be. We're privileged to live in a free country, in a land that where people can go out and knock on doors and go up and down streets. And I'll tell you, unless things change, it's not going to be like that very long. But I'm glad that we can witness and testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first point is, the church organization was completed. We're talking about the finished work of Christ. It was finished. The material was prepared by John. The Bible said in John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John came to do the work that God had asked him to do and allowed him to do, because that's a privilege, allowing us to serve him. Every one of us ought to be glad that we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can give our lives a ransom for many, that we can do whatever we feel like God would have us to do and be glad that we're able to do it. Jesus called out the prepared material, the prepared material, his disciples, and ordained them. In Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse number 12 and 13, it says, And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And so it was a wonderful thing that they could be chosen by the Lord, and they could serve the Lord. And you know, when we get saved, we don't fully understand everything there is to know about being a Christian. At least I didn't when I got saved, because it was all new to me. I'd gone to church and didn't understand what it was all about. But then I went to a youth rally and heard the gospel and had an invitation, first time I'd ever seen an invitation given, and the gospel preached, and I asked Jesus into my heart. I didn't know what the next thing that was going to happen to me was going to be. But I know one thing. I started going to a Baptist church, and I heard the Word of God. And it was a wonderful experience, and it still is. It's greater and greater every single day. So anyway, the church itself, the Bible tells us here, did business before Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and beginning in verse number 20. Acts 11 and verse number 20 down through 26. It says here, And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. and the Spirit made me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And so it's a wonderful thing to realize that Simon Peter was one of those men that was able to be used of Almighty God. In Acts chapter 15 and verse number 14, it says, Simon Peter hath declared how that God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. The Bible tells us that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the Gentiles. That gives us the opportunity and the privilege of being saved, being children of Almighty God. And you know, you can be 80 years old, and if you get saved, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You can be 10, and if you get saved, you're a child of the King. It's a wonderful fact that what Jesus did was come into this world to seek and to save those that were lost. And anyone who is old enough to understand wrong and right, right and wrong, however you want to say it, Jesus will save them. And they can be saved for all eternity. Jesus said, upon this rock, he's talking about himself, on Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Matthew 16, 18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. I didn't see where I'd written it twice, but anyway, that's what happens when you get old. Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning in verse number 20. Ephesians 2 and 20 tells us this, beginning on verse 20 down through 22. Ephesians 2 and 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also were builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is with us and God will never forsake us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now let's just examine this verse in 1 Peter 2, 5. Ye also, that's talking about us. That's talking about anyone who has been saved or someone who wants to be saved, as lively stones. You know, as you know, a stone is a part of a rock. And we're a solid rock for the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God for that. And we're built up a spiritual house. You know, as a Christian, we need to be spiritual. How is a person spiritual when they get saved? Well, they read their Bible, they pray, they witness, they go to church, they tell others about Christ. That's how we can be a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Holy. We need to be holy. Be thou holy, as I am holy, Jesus said. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we want God to be acceptable with us. The finished work of Christ, secondly, is the law fulfilled. The law fulfilled. It's not done away with. It's fulfilled. And thank God for that. Christ fulfilled it. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, things that did not help us at all as a Christian. And the Bible said it was blotted out of the way, and it was contrary to us. And so it was nailed to His cross. The Lord Jesus Christ nailed to the cross. And thank God that Jesus gave His life a ransom for many. All of those that would put their faith and trust in Him. Number one, the law couldn't justify. The law can't justify us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the will of God that we be saved. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man cannot be justified by the works of the law. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. And I like the little terminology, just as if I'd never sinned. When we get saved, it's just as if I'd never sinned. So let me read that again. In Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not our faith, His faith, and not by the works of the law. We're not saved by works. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We're not saved by works. You know, there's a lot of people that think they can work their way to heaven. And that's not how it works. He does all the work, and we do the receiving. And we call upon Him as our Lord and our Savior. Justification is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to go back and find Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Romans 3, 24, 4, yeah, 3, 24 and 25. Let me get on chapter 3. 24 and 25. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means it satisfies God. To be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. God does tolerate us. God has patience. And thank God for that, for the forbearance of God. As we think about all of these things, it's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I can't wash my sins away, but Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. I must accept what He did for me. It's not something I do, it's something He did. All I do is receive Him, the gift of God that bringeth salvation, that has appeared to all men. And thank God for that. Anyone likes to receive a gift. I mean, you just think about Christmas time and the Christmas tree early on Christmas morning. And the little kids, they may be in bed sleeping every other day of the year, but they're not very much asleep that morning when they open up their gifts. I think I told this one time while I was here in this pulpit, but I remember when I was young and I was an early teenager, there was a Catholic girl lived down the street from us in Lima, Ohio, and she took a liking to my mother, and my mother took a liking to her, Julia Mangin. And I don't know, she was a lot older than me because I was little and she was grown. We used to open our gifts at late on Christmas Eve night. And the problem with that was Julia Mangin used to come open her gifts with us as well. But she had to go to Mass at midnight every Christmas Eve night. And I was as fidgety as you could be, trying to wait for midnight to get here. But you know, she'd come, and then that had happened. And then we had gifts the next morning as well in our own personal family and so on. But I'd a whole lot rather open them up at 8 o'clock than 12 o'clock. But that's how it worked. But you know, God is so good to us. He saves us. We can't save ourselves. We accept His gift. What was His gift? His gift was dying on the old rugged cross and going to heaven for us. And thank God for that. And then, concerning the finished work of Christ, point number three, the plan of salvation was finished. It is finished, the Bible said. John 19:30, it is finished. The last thing Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. You know, sometimes, you know, it was a long time before I really stopped and kind of figured out what that meant. It is finished. In other words, the payment for our sin was done. All we had to do was receive. And thank God for that. In John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so, even so, and Son of Man had to be lifted up. He had to be lifted up. And He was lifted up on that old rugged cross. But He said, it is finished. And when He passed away, when He died for my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. What is, if something's remitted, what is it? It's taken away. We lose our sins when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. He died to take away our sins through His name. Whosoever, that, you know, anybody can be saved that is willing to be saved, that has a desire to be saved. Whoever believeth in Him, you must believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, you might come upon someone who says they're the Messiah, or someone who said they would take you to heaven. But it's not Jesus. If it's not Jesus, they can't take you to heaven. There's no one else except the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive the remission of sins. Now, we still sin in this life, but when we get to heaven, there will be no sin. You know that's hard to comprehend, how there'll be no sin. But heaven is a wonderful place. The little chorus says, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. In John 5:24, verily, verily, or truly, truly, however you want to say it, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know, hath everlasting life and is passed from death to life. Some people don't think they're saved until they go to heaven, or they hope they go to heaven, whatever it might be. But it's not hope. It's a fact that Jesus died for us and rose again so we could go to heaven. We accept Him as our personal Savior and we pass from death unto life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When it's my time to pass away, I hope two or three people at least go by the funeral home, tell Larry they'd like him to open the casket up so they can see me, you know. But you know what? It's a wonderful thing to know that the moment that I draw that last breath because I'm saved, I'll be in heaven on the next breath. And that's true with everyone that knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And then I want to also mention this. Salvation is by grace. By grace. That means something we don't deserve. Grace is something we don't deserve. We deserve punishment. We deserve the wrath of God, but He gives us everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. John 3:16, all of us know that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's some good words in that verse. The word so, biggest word in the Bible. So, God so loved the world that He gave, free gift, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Whosoever. Anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. There's no one that says, I've had people tell me before, I just don't believe I can be saved. Why do you believe that? Somebody told you that? Or you think you've been too bad? Well, God will take away all your sins and give you new life if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. And then, salvation is through faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's how you spell it. Romans 4:16 makes our promise sure. Hebrews 11:6 pleases God. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 through 29. I think we read that, but let me read it again. 27 through 29. Where is Romans chapter 3, verse 27 through 29? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not only of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. The Jews and the Gentiles, in other words. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We're not saved by the law, but we establish the law when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 5 and verse 24, we'll close with this passage. The Bible tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 24 that we are passed from death unto life. From death unto life. There's no in between. Isn't it sad when you see people who buy penance, buy things to try to get people into heaven after they've died? It's too late then. If they haven't put their faith and trust in Jesus, it's too late. But if they've accepted Jesus, we look at other religions, and there are people in other religions who have accepted Jesus as their Savior. They just have not been taught the right things. But if they've accepted Jesus, they're going to heaven just like that, even though they may not believe it because they haven't been taught that way. But thank God, we know in whom we have believed and are persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What day? The day that we go to be with Him. So thank God for the Word of God and the very fact that Jesus died for us and rose again. And all we must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. And then we'll know that when we die, we will go to heaven, because heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I can't wait to see it. You know, I've thought a lot about heaven, and I really don't know what we're going to do forever. But I know one thing, we're going to be there forever, and we won't have to die again. We'll be alive. We'll know one another. There's so many things that's going to happen when we get to heaven, and we're going to be surprised. But it's going to be a good surprise. I know many of you like to get a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, and when you open the box, you're surprised. You may be surprised because there's nothing in it, but you may be surprised because there's a lot in it, things that you wouldn't accept. But that's what it's going to be when we get to heaven. It's going to be a wonderful wonderful place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you came to this earth because we needed it, because you came to seek and to save the lost, because you came to die for us and rise again so that we can go to heaven when we die. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one that's here today and help us in all we say and all we do for your glory and honor. I pray that you'd be with our preacher, Lord, and give him traveling mercies back home this week. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.